So I get started tonight. I want to ask everyone if you believe in the power of prayer. And I mean truly believe in prayer. Now, I'm not going to ask for hands because from what I've noticed, only about half of people ever raise their hand anyhow. But let me give a little information first. I am not the first one that has stood up here, talked on prayer, preached on prayer, and even mention about your personal prayer life. But if I could, I want to look at it from a little different perspective than what we normally do. This is going to be a little more personal, given from my point of view, from what I've experienced in my life. And I've had several times in my own life that sometimes have made me question my beliefs as to whether or not God even heard me, or even if God was even listening to me. I want to give a few questions that I've been asked, and even asked myself, and maybe some of you have asked yourself these questions. But before I get too far along, I want everybody to know that no one will ever convince me that prayer does not work. Over a 20-year span, Patsy had cancer three times, come out clean. A couple months ago, she got tested for a possibility of a fourth time with cancer, come out clean. A couple weeks ago, she had to go in for testing for possible Parkinson's, came out clean. And this proves to me, beyond a doubt, that prayer does work and God hears all prayers. I've been asked if I pray, and I just smile and tell them several times a day. Others try to tell me that they've been told to pray without ceasing. Now, we've all heard that Saul prayed for 3 days. I can talk a lot, but I don't believe that I could even talk for 3 days, yet alone pray for 3 days. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 states to pray without ceasing. This, to me, I believe, is having conversation with God. I've had people tell me that they've been told that you do not repeat your prayers because it shows a lack of faith in what trusting what God can do. Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, repeated a prayer 3 times, asking God to take the cup from him that he was going to be given. But he asked God, he says, not for my will, but for yours. And I've told him, I says, no, I said, repeating prayers also shows God how much you care and knowing that God also cares for you. Just let me say, if we've been taught, if this church would teach that repeating prayers showed a lack of faith, we would not need a prayer list in your bulletin. You would not need a prayer wall, nor would we need a Wednesday night prayer service, because you just mentioned a need one time, and that's all that would be needed. You'd move on to the next one. I can tell you, when Patsy had cancer, if repeating prayers showed a lack of faith, then I absolutely had no faith, because I prayed a lot. And I don't even have to ask George and Rhonda if you only prayed one time after Courtney's accident, or if you prayed continuous. And if you do get your prayers answered the way you want or the way you need, do you only thank God one time and never worry about it, think about it a second time? They tell you not to pray for material things like cars and homes and all the big boy toys. I do not pray for bigger or newer cars or homes, but I will guarantee that I have prayed for my cars to keep running, and I have prayed for my home to be spared in times of storms. I have prayed for a happy home, and any of you with bigger families or growing families, you're going to find it's hard to please everyone, or even to get a schedule set for holidays and birthdays where everyone can get together at the same time. Now you show your love for God and your faith in God and trust He knows what's best, even if it does not fit what you want at the time. Our wants may not be God's wants. Our plans may not be God's plans, but we trust that He knows what is best for us. But if you trust in God's guidance and watch what God wants for you, He will show you just what it means to trust Him in prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 states to be anxious in nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, I pray a whole lot more than Patsy even thinks that I do. I give thanks to God every day before my feet ever hit the floor. I may repeat the same prayer every morning because each day is a new day to be thankful for. I thank God for a good night's rest. I thank God for the warmth of our home. I thank God for watching over us through the night. And I thank God for watching over my dreams. And I've heard some guys talk about different dreams that they've had. I've had them too. So have you. You know, dreams possibly about other women. And ladies, you're not exempt. Your dreams about some hunky guy on a beach or maybe some guy at work. Or maybe you even dream about an entertainment director on an ocean cruise. Many will tell you that it's not their fault what they dream about because they're sleeping and they have no control over what they dream about. Oh, yeah? Try this. When you lay down at night, ask God to watch over your dreams and not let Satan enter your mind with an illicit dream or thought, and just see if they don't stop. And now you know you have no more excuses. You see, thanking God every morning is the first thing you need to do. Every day that God wakes you up, He's telling you that He's not done with you yet. You have not fulfilled the work that He has set for you, whether it's great or whether it's small. Every morning that God wakes you up, He has given you two things. He's given you a chance, and He's given you a choice. Don't waste it. My wife and I, we give thanks for meals, and sometimes I'll admit we may fall short on that one. But I've got a quick question. If we give thanks to God for our meal, and we have leftovers for the next meal, do we need to give thanks to God again for the same food? You know, just asking. Years back, like way back, I mean, when I was a lot younger, Sunday school, and I'm talking 10, 11, 12 years old, being taught about asking God for many of my needs and not to be afraid to ask God for whatever I needed. After Sunday school, we go upstairs, we sat in church, and pretty soon they're talking about fearing God. Being young, all I could get in my mind was to fear God, be afraid of God, and yet ask God and thank God for my needs. It's like, how could I pray to someone I was supposed to fear? And it was not until a few years later that I even understand or had it explained to me that it's the wrath of God that we were to fear, the thought of being cast into hell. Years ago, after my sister had her accident, I was 14 years old at the time. I spent a lot of time watching her suffer, pain, paralyzed, unable to move, unable to talk, unable to even chase a fly off of her nose. I prayed a lot for God to take her home. I prayed this for many years because what I was looking at was not just the pain and suffering that she was going through, but I'm also looking at my life going on like absolutely nothing ever happened. A few years later, my sister gained movement in her right arm and able to start talking again. A But years later, there was a lady in our town that would visit her a lot. And at that time, Reader's Digest was a big deal. Lots of human interest stories and articles. The lady decided to write a story about my sister's life and submit it to Reader's Digest. The story never got printed. I don't really know why, but that's not really the point I want to make. After my sister passed away, Patsy and I cleaned out her stuff. I found the article that the lady had written. It turned out that my sister had told her she always wanted to be a missionary, something I had never heard about or even gave a thought about her ever wanting to do. When I would think about missionaries and think about my sister being a missionary, but I could not see her going overseas to some third world nation because I thought that's what missionaries did. But as I thought back about the 46 years that my sister spent in hospitals and nursing homes, I had witnessed her talking to people in her room and turning their life around. And I began to believe that she was following God's plan for her. And I do believe that God had placed her where he needed her to be to do his missionary work. Now, I've been driving truck now for over 35 years. I've enjoyed it immensely, and I've learned and changed a lot over that time. I believe that anyone that thinks God does not answer prayers does not pray with faith. I asked God on my last run for a good run. God gave me a full moon to light my night and a clear blue sky to light my day. I asked God to give me open roads so I could make good time. Traffic was very light going to and from Chicago that night. I asked God to help watch over all traffic around me and keep all of us safe. Didn't even have the first person try to cut in or cut us off. I asked God to give me a good run back to Fort Wayne, and he got me back with only two stoplights. And at that time, there was approximately 36 stoplights, all of them traffic trip, from a delivery point back to Fort Wayne. I ran as normal, made it back in just over 3 hours. Normal time is close to 3.5 hours at best. 30-plus years of driving truck. I had one auto accident. It was not my fault. Driver cut in front of me. He was drunk. Thankfully, no one was hurt. I had a couple of minor property damages, a few warning tickets, but only one traffic stop with a fine for excessive speed. I give God the thanks for the career I've had. I've done some stupid stuff. I've come close to dozing off more than once. Even took a few chances that I probably should never have taken. But you see, when you make God your pilot and not your co-pilot, you know you're going to be in good hands. One night, I was getting ready to leave Fort Wayne to head to Chicago. And I always checked the weather radar to see what I was going to be heading into. And on this particular night, there was rain showing from upper Minnesota all the way down to Oklahoma, from central Indiana all the way back past Iowa. I knew that I was going to run into rain somewhere. But I asked God, according to James, chapter 5, verse 17, tells that Elijah was a man of nature just like you and I. Elijah prayed to God and asked him to hold the rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. I prayed to God that I did not want to hold the rain for 3.5 years, but I would love for it not to rain for the 30 minutes that I needed to drop and hook my trailer. When I left Derry that night, I never made it to Columbia City, and it started to rain. And it's one of those rains that was steady. All the way to Chicago, never once got a chance to shut my wipers off. And I just kind of concluded that it was a good possibility that I was going to get wet. As I turned down the street, and this is a suburb of Chicago, and as I turned down the street heading to my drop, I didn't have radios on. I don't play the radios. They're distracting. But as I'm going down this street heading toward my drop, all of a sudden, I felt a pressure on my left shoulder, just like somebody just laying your hand on your shoulder. And then I heard a voice. Just as plain as today, just as plain as day, this voice is telling me, God did not hear your prayer. And I even remember answering. I'm like, what? Because I had nothing on. But I heard it again. God did not hear your prayer. Look out your windshield. It's still raining. And all of a sudden, I could picture this little demon devil sitting on my shoulder, you know, just like the ones you see in cartoons. And telling me that God did not hear me. And I'd better ask him again because I was getting close to my delivery point. And about the time that I started thinking and doubting, you know, maybe God didn't hear me. Maybe he was listening to somebody else's prayer. And I start thinking about redoing my prayer. And about that time, I heard, Bruce, God hears all prayers. I could envision this little cherub sitting on my right shoulder telling me that God hears all prayers. Trust him. I thought for a little bit, and I even remember reaching, flipping that little demon right off of my shoulder. And I thought for a moment and decided if God wanted me to get wet, I'm going to get wet because what God wants, you're going to get. Now I'm only a couple blocks from my drop site. And I'm just kind of looking to the storefronts and stuff. I mean, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. There's no traffic, no foot traffic. But as I'm watching these stores and I'm going down the street, all of a sudden I hear this squawk, 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 squawk. I turn around. It's the sound of wipers on a dry windshield. And I'm like, oh, thank you, God. Now my prayers turn to God, asking him to let the drive be open on the place I needed to go to. It's an old worked-out warehouse. There's apartments on both sides and across the street, and people park right up to it. And their drive is only big enough to get one semi off the street, barely. But as I turned down that street, I could see the cars were parked back. The driveway is wide open. I'm like, thank you, God. And it's a dark terminal, what they call a dark terminal, meaning there's nobody there. We pull in. It's got an 8-foot fence all the way around. They give us a remote to work the gate. The remote that I had never, ever worked the first time. But as I pulled in and stopped, I reached up, I grabbed that remote, I pointed it out the windshield. There goes the gate. I sat there looking at it. The place where I needed to park my trailer was over here on the left. The one I was picking up was right straight ahead. Pulled in, got my trailer dropped, hooked my other trailer, checked the load, shut the doors, checked the lights, tires, put my paperwork in the mailbox, got back in the truck, got out the gate. Now, going out the gate, you have to get out of your truck because remotes do not work through a 50-foot trailer. So I get out of the truck. I took one step. Usually you got to go halfway back at least. I took one step and I hit that. The gate went shut. I just stood there watching because this thing had never worked on the first time. And I'm sitting there, I'm watching it. And all of a sudden, I'm like, man, you better get back in your truck. I got back in my truck and sitting there thinking, never felt the first drop of rain. And I would have felt it. But I never felt it. I got back in my truck, half a block, take a left. I didn't get a block down a side street, and it started raining again. And it rained all the way back to Valparaiso. And to this very day, I wish I'd have had a naysayer about prayer with me in that truck that night. Now, another thing I want to bring up is when you ask God for anything, anything and you get it, you better thank God for the next time it may not work in your favor. If you're going out to eat at a store or something like that and it's raining and you ask God, you know, please give me a parking spot right next to the door, real close. And you turn the corner and there's a spot right there. Don't ever, never tell God, hey, don't worry about it, God. I found it on my own. Because I'll guarantee the next time you do that, you'll probably be parking out by the highway. And we've all seen people, I'm on Facebook, I know a lot of you are too. And you've seen on Facebook where people come on and they ask for prayers. We've heard it, we've had it in church. When you tell somebody, hey, I'll pray for you, do it. Don't just blow it off, do it. Don't just give an emoji of the little praying hands, you know. You don't need to know the details. Sometimes, you know, people just say, hey, I need prayers lifted up. You don't have to know what's wrong. God already knows. Just say it. Lift them up in prayer. But there's a Bible verse that I feel pertains to me a lot. And because, you see, I seldom ever have any stress. I never worry about hardly anything at all. And Patsy could probably tell you, yeah, you don't worry. But people even ask me, don't you even care? You know, and some of them, I know, they assume, well, you just got a cold heart. You don't care about anything. And at times like that, I can't help but wonder and think about where is your belief in God? If you worry about every little thing, if you stress about every little thing going on, where's your belief in God? Don't you think God can handle it? But the verse that I keep close is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. And because of this verse, I have very little problem ever sleeping at night. Because when I lie down, I've got a clear conscience. We have come across people, heard them, seen them, talked to them, that either mock God or make comments about God answering prayers or not answering prayers. The challenge I want to present to them, or any of you if it's needed, I challenge everybody to pray for 40 days. Pray with thanksgiving in the morning. Pray for your meals. Pray for situations you go through during the day. Pray with thanksgiving at night when you lie down. Pray earnestly and ask for forgiveness. Pray with an open mind and an open heart. And if at the end of 40 days, they or you still don't believe that God exists, or believe that God answers prayers, I will let you know right now, Satan will be more than happy to take you back on his side. Now I want to ask you, when you get ready to pray, do you ask God to forgive you of your shortcomings before you pray? We all fall short. I fail to do this a lot. And I want to admit, you know, I don't want to admit that I do. I do fail at it. But if you raise your hands to God in prayer, is he seeing clean hands? Or does he see the blood of your own sins dripping down your arms while you try to pray? James 4, verse 8, second half states, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ask your sins to be forgiven first. Then you can pray with a clean heart and clean hands. God can stand. He has no problem standing in the presence of sin. But Satan cannot stand in the presence of holiness and the righteousness of God. Satan will flee from the presence of God and true faith. Satan fears prayers because God hears all prayers. Ask yourself this one last question. When was the last time you prayed earnestly and felt the presence of God looking down on you and smiling for what you're doing? Now they're going to come up and lead us in a song of invitation. Ask yourself, are you ready to give your life to Christ? There's a plan of salvation that we go through every message. We must believe in God. We must repent of all our sins. We must confess that Jesus is the one true Son of the living God. We must be immersed into the watery grave of baptism. And we must be faithful to the end of our life. I will tell you one last time, when you pray, ask God to forgive you first. Then pray with an earnest and clean heart and just feel the presence of God looking down on you.